السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear my colleagues, dear friends, I would like to start with extending my appreciation and gratitude to organizers of this meeting, Dr. Ali Salman, Tasneem, and all others, for making this event possible. This is my second visit to Malaysia. I have friends living here. After so many years, coming back from United States after finishing PhD studies, I met my dear friend Dr. Remli Mustafa from Malaysia last night, who picked me up from the airport. So it was nice to be with you again in this country. Today, I am going to talk about free markets, the journey of Turkey towards free market in recent decades. Turkey is one of the critical countries, as Graham Fuller said in one of the, his books, the pivotal country in the Muslim world for several reasons. Turkey is a country somehow has some experience with pluralist democracy, parliamentary system, and free market economy. Yet, this situation, the process is not a smooth and easy one. There has been ups and downs, fluctuations, volatility, U-turns, etc., etc. So I am going to just briefly mention the five pillars of a market economy, importance of Turkey for the Muslim world, and Turkey's free market experience toward free market since early 1980s. And I am going to focus especially in the last two decades. That means JDP, Justice and Development Party, or Erdogan period, okay? Economic performance in the 1920s. Okay. There are, my dear colleagues, friends, two main perspectives regarding as to the fundamental questions, economic questions, on who is going to decide on what to produce, how much, how to produce, for whom to produce, how do we organize economic activities, who is going to decide, the state, government, or some state planning organization, or politburo, or a central agency on behalf of the public, or are we individuals, entrepreneurs, consumers, and producers will decide on what to produce, how to produce, for whom to produce. So, if individuals, entrepreneurs, consumers, or producers will decide on answering these fundamental questions, we are talking about a free market economy. If, on the other hand, state planning organization or government or central planning is deciding, then we are talking about a command system as opposed to free market system. So there are basically five main institutions of a free market economy: private property, freedom of choice and entrepreneurship, competition, that is free entry and exit to the markets, free trade with internal or outside world, doesn't matter, limited government. In the end, we can talk about supremacy of the consumers in a free market economy, because the demand created by consumers will decide on what to produce, how much, for whom to produce, and how to produce, okay? So, I am not going to go into the details of this, you know, Islam versus free market economy, because I think it will be main theme of tomorrow's sessions, so they will talk about in detail. But in my opinion, my dear friends, there is no incompatibility or hostility between Islam and free market economy. They are perfectly compatible, and you can find many verses from Quran and from Hadith supporting the basic tenets, main institutions of a free market economy. Okay? Now let's talk about Turkey's journey toward free market economy in recent decades. Founded in 1923, after the collapse of Ottoman Empire, which collapsed at the end of First World War, Turkey has been founded in 1923, okay? Turkey is a pivotal country in the Muslim world because it has a very strategic geographical location, just intersection of Asia, Africa, and Europe, at the intersection of three ancient continents. With more than 85 million people, with about $900 billion of GDP, with GDP per capita of around $10,000, okay? And also, Turkey has very special historical, political, social, cultural, and religious relations with ancient, Central Asian republics, with the Arabian Peninsula, Middle East, North Africa, and the Balkans. So it's a very strategic country. So the experience of Turkey toward free market economy would be somehow a role model for the rest of the Muslim world. Okay, in the recent history, that means in the last 100 years, Turkey was at the beginning, in the first half of 20th century, it was basically a statist, centralist command economy. There was just one single political party, and it dictated everything. What to do, how to do, for whom to do, what to produce, how much to produce, etc., etc. Almost everything was controlled by government. In the second half, we started somehow experiencing with pluralist democracy and free market economy. Under Menderes, between 1950 and 60, we tried at least a pluralist democracy and some initiatives toward opening up the country, all right? But it was actually interrupted with, as Dr. Bijan Shahin in the earlier session said, military interventions, coup d'etat, they say. The military intervened in 1960. That was the first military interventions. We had several of them after that. Almost every decade, we had one. In 1960, 1971, 1980, 1997, 2007, and the last one is the coup d'etat we had in 2016, as recent as 2016. So democracy and free market economy process was not a smooth and easy process in Turkey. We had, between 60 and 80, a central planning period. So inspired by the Soviet type of central planning, the military interventionists actually established state planning organization in 1961. Since then, Turkey has been ruled under 5-year development plans. The 12th one is still underway. And Özal period, late Mr. Özal, was a critical period, a turning point, if you like. He was a very pro-free market man. He really accepted, internalized the idea of free market, the value of free market, openness, freedom, etc., etc. So he was the one, actually, who really initiated the free market process. In 1993 and 2002, I would call it a lost decade because it was back to the command economy from where Özal left. And we can divide Erdogan period into two within itself. Justice and Development Party has been ruling the country for the last 21 years, that is last two decades. Within that, we can talk about two separate, you know, periods. Number one, first period is pro-free market, and the second period from 2014 and 2022 is a statist, protectionist, anti-free market type of policies, inward-looking policies, nationalism combined with some anti-free market policies. Now, let's look at the economic performance in the last two decades, that is under Erdogan or Justice and Development Party leadership, okay? Economic growth, one of the most important indicators, economic indicators, how your economy is doing, going up or down? Are you getting rich or poorer? Now, as you can see, fluctuating economic growth has been fluctuating in the last two decades. This one is the year where Turkish economy hit the greatest economic crisis in the recent history, and this one is the global economic crisis, or the mortgage crisis, if you like, in 2008 and 2009. And you can see the actually declining trend in the second decade, starting from 2011 up until 2021. You can see the decelerating rate of economic growth, okay? Now, another economic indicator is GDP per capita. In order to measure, are you getting richer or not? Is your welfare is improving or not? This is one of the key economic indicators, GDP per capita, right? And you can see from 2001 up until 2013, you can see there is a clear upward trend. The GDP per capita accelerated, increased sharply, almost sharply, because starting from $2,000 up until $12,500, $600 in 2013. But after that is in the second period of ruling of JDP, is you can see it's falling down from $1,200 up until $8,500, $9,000. Okay, another one, inflation. Inflation, how your life is going more expensive or cheaper? What are the prices? Are they going up or not? So the inflation is, look, from in the early, very early of the Erdogan period, they actually controlled inflation after so many years, 35 years of chronic high inflation. Erdogan and his government was able to control it, reduce it to the single digit levels, from 70% to single digit levels, like 8% or so. From 2004 up until 2017 or 16, they were able to control it at the single digit levels. But as you can see, in the second half of their ruling, that is in the last decade, inflation is getting out of control, from single digit levels up until almost 70% again. So we went back to where we started some 20 years ago. Sad but true. Right? Unemployment is another critical indicator. Unemployment has been around 10%. And you can see the slightly upper trend from 2012 and onwards. that is in the second half of GDP rolling period, unemployment was not falling. All right. What about budget deficit? As you can see, one of the key reasons why Erdogan government was successful in getting economic indicators going up in the first decade, to me, was financial discipline they achieved, or fiscal discipline, independent central bank, etc. And you can see, this is the budget deficit, okay, under control. Financial and fiscal discipline has been achieved in the first decade. Starting from 2013, you can see a clear upward trend. Increasing budget deficits will force you to finance them either by printing or increasing taxes or getting borrowing from internal sources or outside sources. And if you actually use printing money, all right, then you will face high inflation unavoidably, as you all economists guys who should know about. Okay, what about current account deficit? Turkish current account deficit in the first decade from 2001 up until 2013, even though there has been, you know, fluctuations, it has been an important problem. When economy is growing fast, you have to import a lot of oil, natural gas, and some other capital goods, as they say, investment goods, as economists say, right? So there has been a serious level of current account deficit up until $70 billion or something. But in the second half, in the second period, in the second decade, when the economic growth decelerated, getting, you know, falling down, then there is no need to import much. That's why you can see decelerating current account deficit. In other words, current account deficit has been a problem with Turkish economy. As long as the energy gap and the capital goods gap is there, then you have to somehow give certain degree of current account deficit, right? What about interest rates? Erdogan's government was very sensitive against high interest rate for understandable reasons. You know, they are religiously motivated. They said, we want to get rid of this interest business. But in my opinion, it is very questionable. We should question it, whether riba that is banned by Quran is the same thing as the interest rates, zillions, you know, several different types of interest rates that we are talking about today. It's a very important question. But regardless of that, if you look at how were the interest rates doing during Erdogan period, the political force on the central bank, monetary authorities, they openly said you have to reduce interest rates. But if you cannot achieve, do not achieve predictability, improving the environment atmosphere for investments, if you do not reduce the risk of country, then by forcing with political decisions, by forcing the interest rate to go down, does not help a lot. As I mentioned, many economic indicators has been not improving, but on the other side, they are decelerating or getting worse and worse. Look, up until 2013, there has been interest rates falling down. In the aftermath, on the other hand, it went up, and then political pressure went it down again. But after the last election, Erdogan government had to reinitiate the policies, you know, fiscal policy, giving importance to fiscal discipline, financial discipline, independent central bank, etc. They are now trying to implement those policies which made their government to be successful, right? So they reappointed the finance minister they kicked off some 10 years ago. Right now they are trying to do some, you know, correction on economic policies. What about exchange rates? Exchange rate, you know, is a critical indicator showing the purchasing power of a national currency against other currencies, right? As you can see, TL, Turkish lira, against dollar has been very successful. Sorry, go back. Can you go back? Ah, okay. Was even less than two. $1 was less than two Turkish lira for a long time, starting from 2001 up until 2013. And after that, for, you know, several internal and external factors that I would mention if you like.
Doctor,
then,
Dr. Mustafa?
Yes?
Your time is...
5 minutes.
No. Is up.
Done?
Nicole has been trying to ask you to stop.
But anyway, please give me 5 minutes. Anyway, can I just finish up?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Go ahead. Change it. Okay. FDI inflows are falling down. Go ahead, please. And you can see clearly that when economic policies are pro-freedom, free market economy, economic performance is quite high. When it is anti-freedom, anti-free market, inward-looking policies, then the economic performance goes down very clearly. Same thing, okay, please. Same thing here. So, just in one sentence, for a country, in order to improve welfare, improve economic indicators, free market, outward-looking policies, reforms, political as well as economic reforms, certainty and bringing the country risk down is very critical. If you are following pro-free market policies, the economic indicators goes up and vice versa. Thank you for listening patiently.
Thank you so much.